What's happening, y'all? Another episode of On the Run Podcast. My dog Brandon here.
Yes, sir. And
friend of the show, Mikey from On the Arm. How we doing? How we feeling?
Good, good. Blessed. Can't complain. Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, I got some questions written down, but, you know, I remember when you, I think I was at the store like, maybe like October, November. Because it was your idea to like kind of do this again.
Oh, yeah, just because I felt like the last one may not, or it didn't get the attention I feel like it deserved because there was no video and it was just extra long.
Yeah.
And then I think we kind of diverted into my life story more than like the actual business. Yeah. So, I mean, hey, people still listen. So,
no, hell, you know, that thing was like an autobiography. So, this episode, we just, you know, really, I think.
Yeah, we touched all the bases already.
So exactly. Now it's just... So this episode is like, I think I'm gonna ask some questions I had beforehand, mm-hmm. and then just like kind of review 2024, just for all of us, really.
Yeah.
And then just want to speak on 2025. So, I mean, really, like, how do you feel like just starting off like 2024 for OTA?
I mean, the month of January so far has been pretty strong, a lot stronger than usual as far as just like traffic for the store, sales, and just like having a lot more planned out ahead. Mm-hmm. I think compared to other Januaries and just like first quarter in general, I think I'm a little more prepared for the rest of the year as far as like finances go, planning out what we're doing with OTA for the brand, and then like the resale shit's the resale shit. It always kind of works itself out.
Stop right there. 60% of y'all watching this are still not subscribed, man. What's wrong with y'all? Tap that subscribe button. Now back to the episode.
But, right. And that's something that's always really interesting to me too, like your approach to like the brand and like finances on that. I feel like you've always been like I'm gonna keep like a war chest type of guy. Like,
what you mean?
What I mean by that is like, you know, a lot of other brand owners like in Vegas or like just in general, like as soon as they get their first lick of money, whatever, it's BMF. It's blowing money fast.
Oh yeah.
Facts. But you've always been somebody that's like been like super like in case of emergency.
I wouldn't say always, because definitely when the store was making money, like on a resale tip, mm-hmm. I was definitely blowing through a lot of that money, like 2017, 2018. We don't need to discuss too much of that. But
yeah.
You know, me learning through that, right? When I finally started making actual money with the brand, it's like, okay, now like I know not to fuck that money off and just put it back towards the re-up and whatever it be. But I think this year specifically, and maybe last quarter going into this year, we've had our best sales for OTA in a quarter since, you know, I started taking the brand seriously. And I think that isn't part of me, you know, reinvesting that money as opposed to like fucking it all off, mm-hmm. you know? So I think putting it, there was, what I was getting to was, there was an instance where like I would have to use the resale money to fund OTA, right? Because mm-hmm. there would be times where OTA wasn't selling as much as I needed to, because we do everything cut and sew, so it is pretty expensive, right? Compared to, you know, just printing on blanks and stuff. But after our last drop in third quarter of last year, that was the first drop to where OTA kind of stood on its 2 feet and I could reinvest the money on OTA and just OTA, and I didn't have to pull money from the resale side to help fund that. So that in turn helped the resale side kind of, you know, keep that going. And then OTA, we were making so much off the past collection that I can just reinvest that as opposed to me, you know, digging into the resale side to help fund that. And then in turn, the resale side would hurt if I was using that money for OTA that wasn't selling, you know?
I want to ask something about that, because there's a very good business lesson in there. And I've always sort of explained that to people, because we're kind of doing that with like the podcast now, right? The podcast isn't like, ultimately, this is like our number one dream. But in order to fund it, we kind of have to have like a studio where we help other people record and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I've always said that, you know, especially if you don't have the capital to just front at the beginning, or you don't want to, you know, borrow money from somewhere to establish like your A dream, which I would assume is like the OTA line, mm-hmm. you kind of have to start something else to say, okay, let me start this other thing, build it up, and then just use that money to pipe into the other dream until they can both kind of stand on their own.
Yeah, facts, facts. I feel like, man, what was I watching today? I was watching Angelo Bacque. He's the owner of the brand Awake. And
oh, was that the Business of Hype interview maybe?
It wasn't the Business of Hype because I've seen that one, but right. They dropped a new one. It was his interview at ComplexCon.
Okay.
So he's the owner of the brand Awake, but he used to be the creative director of Supreme. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about the same thing. Like, he always wanted to start Awake, but he knew as creative director of Supreme that was what was paying the bills, and he needed to make sure that was, you know, taking most of the time of his day to make sure that he had the stability. So when moving forward to start Awake, you know, he had the capital to do so, because he was saying the same thing, that he, you know, wanted something for himself. Ultimately, Supreme wasn't his brand. It was somebody else's, but he was, you know, making good money. And that era where Angelo was the creative director was kind of, for a Supreme head, I look back at that time where he was creative director, and that's a lot of like the golden age of Supreme, I would say. And he took that and, you know, did what he wanted to do ultimately. So yeah, definitely see what you were saying, how you kind of have to, you know, have something that's a little more stable to help fund what you want to do in the end. So,
for sure.
Yeah. And
something I kind of wanted to wind back to, like what you were talking about, is like, obviously this last quarter, OTA, the brand, has had its pretty much best sales, obviously due to the Chopper collection.
Yeah.
And I was watching this Tom Ford interview yesterday while researching our interview today, or our podcast episode today.
Yeah.
And he had this quote that like kind of tripped me out, and I wanted your opinion on it. But he was saying that like fashion is like way tougher than like the film industry, right? Because Tom, like, obviously he's known for clothes, but he's also a director as well. And what he was saying was like, fashion kind of, you got to have like a number one hit every 3 months. Right? Like somebody like Kendrick or Drake or whatever, like, you know, they got number one albums, hits, the whole shit, but they could take a break if they wanted to. They could chill out.
Yeah, they got a catalog.
They could cool out. But with fashion, you basically have to like come out with the number one hit every 3 months. And like, these are like really hard deadlines.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So with OTA being, you know, now it's year nine, obviously, and you guys having brand wise your best success yet, does that like, is that like a weird feeling for you, or is that like, you know, it's like you've adapted to the pressure?
It's something that I'm definitely becoming more aware of, because we've been open for 9 years, but I haven't been taking the brand aspect as serious until I would say maybe like after 2020, like the pandemic, because that's when I did my first Cut and Sew collection. So now I believe we're 10 Cut and Sew collections in, 10 or 11, give or take. But, you know, I feel that like, every quarter, you know, every 3 months, every quarter, you got to drop something that's going to resonate with people, you know? And that was something that earlier in 2024 that I feel like I wasn't, it just wasn't hitting the same. So some of the OTA I was putting out, to me, it resonated, but it didn't resonate, you know, sales wise. Maybe we didn't market it correctly, plethora of things, right? But I feel that quote just because, yeah, like I look at, you know, each collection I put out is a body of work, right? How, you know, a musician might look at putting out an album or something, right? You want to make sure you do it to the highest of your ability, but you're also hit with these deadlines, especially in clothing, because with musicians, you know, you can kind of push back the album unless you have like label pressure and whatever, but most musicians kind of drop whenever they want, essentially.
Yeah.
With clothing, you know, I've seen brands take, you know, a year off, and then they don't have that same traction that they did when they had dropped prior. So in my case with OTA, from a brand aspect, I have to, like, how do you follow up the Chopper collection, right? That was our best-selling graphic in, you know, the 9 years that we've been open and the 4.5, 5 years that I've been taking the brand seriously. So, you know, the next collection we're dropping, you know, it has to, you feel the pressure of trying to deliver something that's going to resonate the same, if not better, because, you know, for me, right, I don't want to drop that and then put out some bullshit, you know, or half-ass like marketing for another collection after we put everything that we had into that, you know? So it's like with every drop, I want to do something that kind of pushes the brand narrative forward a little bit more with each drop organically, instead of like forcing product out because I feel like I have to, which I feel like some brands do. It's either they force product out or they don't drop anything. And I don't want to have to fall into either of those categories, you know?
Right. And there was another quote. It's a really good interview if you ever have the chance to check it out. But he had a quote, direct quote. I want to say it and get your word on it. He said, every good brand has a strong personality, and the personality of the brand creator speaks through it.
Repeat that one more time.
It's every good brand has a strong personality, and the personality of the brand creator speaks through it.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Right.
Yeah.
So obviously OTA is, you know, obviously you speak through OTA, but for brands that I think they're starting out, right? I think there's like a lot of like, you know, a lot of people who are younger than us, like who might've came up off of TikTok, right? It's
just yeah.
Like,
that generation of clothing exactly, brands. Yep.
Right. They're still trying to figure themselves out.
Yeah.
So I, as an OG, I guess like brand wise,
young OG.
Yeah. Young OG. Yeah. You ain't 30 yet, but young OG, like, could you give them some advice?
So, funny enough, one of these kids, right? He initially came in and sold me some clothes. But it was when I was having a meeting with my now co-creative director, Timmy, who runs Martin Aristotle. So we were kind of having a meeting on, you know, just like the future of OTA, like what we're doing for future clothing. And this kid had came in, young kid, I think he said he was like 17 or 18. Still in high school for sure. And he was selling me some clothes and we kind of were just talking about like, he came from the Bay Area. So we were kind of just talking about the differences and stuff. But I noticed that this kid, he had like, I saw a little bit of me in him as far as like the way he spoke and the way he was talking about clothes and what he understood about it. I was like, damn, like, you know, I'm 27 and I just figured some of this out and you're 17 and like, you already got it. Right. So this kid, I come to find out that he has his own clothing brand that he wants to drop. And last week he came in and, you know, he was talking to me about just like, bro, my first drop is going to be this weekend. I don't know how to go about it, blah, blah, blah. You know, he was asking me a lot of questions as far as just like how to move about dropping your own clothing. And for me, when he showed me his graphics, the designs, the pieces he was putting out compared to what I was putting out at that age, I was like, bro, you got it. Like, you care about the presentation, you care about how your brand is, you know, the quality of the pieces, you know, the graphics might not be for me, but you understand that market, you understand your own market. And I understand my own market just because like, you know, you, or just because, I have a different, crowd than you doesn't mean that you can't sell those clothes. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I was kind of just breaking it down to him, like, you just got to put yourself out there first. Like, you never know. It's your first drop. You might not, some pieces might resonate and some pieces might not. So it's up to you, but you'll never know until you put it out. And I think he was so scared of just putting it out because he didn't know what the response would be. And I was just like, look, you have to be vulnerable in the sense of, you know, you're putting your brand out there is putting yourself out there. So I explained to him that you have to take the good and the bad that comes with that. Sometimes pieces won't sell. I've had a bunch of OTA pieces that ended up sitting for, you know, I try to keep it under a year. I try to sell OTA within like 3 to 6 months. And if it sits longer than that, then I know that that graphic might not have been the best. But I just told him, you got to keep putting pieces out for the people that support your brand. You know, you don't want to fall into the category of, because it's something that I used to do. I tried to make clothes that impressed like my friends, right? Because I trust, you know, my friend group has like elevated kind of like taste, right? As far as like when it comes to clothes. But it got to the point where I was putting out pieces that I was making more for them as opposed to making stuff for the people that are actually buying OTA. And that didn't translate the same, right? So even with the Choppa graphic, funny enough, like I was sitting on that graphic since I think like maybe October or November of 2023.
Wow.
And we didn't drop it until September of 2024. So I initially was going to have it for the 8 year. I was initially going to have it for the 8 year anniversary. But I went with a different graphic instead because a couple of my friends said they didn't like the Choppa graphic. So I was like, okay, let me go with something that resonates with me a little bit more, resonates with them. And then just so happens the graphic I put out, which was the Game Breaker one, the NBA Street rip.
Hold on. I got the shirt on.
Oh, right, you got yours on,
yeah,
right now?
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah, so that one, I think it might have been because of the types of pieces I put it on, because I did hoodies in the middle of summer. Mm. The t-shirts sold fine, but like the hoodies didn't really sell that well. But, you know, goes to show that, like, back to, you know, where I was telling homie, I was just like, yeah, bro, you got to keep putting pieces out for the people that are already supporting the brand, as opposed to you putting out pieces trying to impress, whether it be me or people that, you know, you look up to. Right? Because that will come, the more you put clothes out, that will draw the attention to the people that you look up to. If you're doing it at a high level, somebody like Zach from FTP, right? I might not wear the clothes, all of them, but I can, as a brand owner, I can respect that he knows how to cater to his crowd very well. And that's what I was essentially telling homie too. So,
do you want to shout him out?
I'm gonna come clean. I feel bad. I don't know his name. I just know his Instagram. Okay.
You gave him game though. He knows who he is.
I know his Instagram. I just didn't get his name. Yeah.
Shout out to the bro though. But to go a little bit into that too, we see that a little bit on the podcast game, like kind of talking about the quote, the fact that a lot of people sort of have these ideas that they want to start, but they don't really have the personality yet. And I feel like he was kind of like not a one in a million, but he's a very rare. Kind of like when LeBron came into the league, like he was already so good.
Yeah.
But a lot of these 18, 19 year olds, like they'll come into the league and it takes them like a few years to develop, to really get some reps in. And then you start to see their play style change and they'll have like a distinction. On the podcasting side, we see like oftentimes it's hard to really start something when you're like 18, 19, because you just haven't lived enough life yet. You haven't seen enough things to have like an opinion on things and know kind of what your style is. 100%. Is fashion the same way?
100%. I mean, one of the best quotes my dad ever told me, like, I got to a point where, like, I wouldn't say I wasn't listening, but a lot of the things he was telling me wasn't resonating. He said, look, I'm not going to tell you shit anymore because there's things that life is going to teach you that I can't, right? So I was like, damn, like, you're right. Like, life is going to teach me everything that you would need to know. So for these kids who haven't experienced, like, you know, losing 10 to 20K on a drop, for example, right? Or putting your all into a collection and it not resonating. You know, they haven't experienced that yet.
Or so, your girl in that Hellcat.
Yeah, right?
when she in that nigga Hellcat.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, you have to go through those trials and tribulations to be, you know, to be a made man, essentially. So with clothing, I mean, I feel like I'm still scratching the surface and bridging the gap between what a resale store brand can be outside of just, you know, being a resale store brand, because I feel like resale stores in general get like a negative rep.
Definitely.
But I feel like us being one of the, if not, I mean, I wouldn't say the only, because now a lot of people are taking their like merch, quote unquote, or their brand in resale stores a lot more seriously. But I think a lot of that has to do with how successful OTA has been. I feel like in round two, I feel like kind of laid the blueprint for, like, you can make good quality clothes and be a resale store brand, you know, and not just make shorts and t-shirts and hats. You know, you can expand and make actual pieces.
Yeah, I think that like your longevity is a testament of that, because we saw during the peak of the hype era, a lot of stores open, or even a little bit after that, a lot of stores open that they're not around anymore.
Yeah.
And it was because they didn't really have a love for the game where they would, you know, invest as much time as you did into your in-house brand. They kind of just said, oh, well, you know, Supreme is selling good. We'll just buy a bunch of it and resell it.
Exactly.
But, you know, that only lasts for so long because you're so dependent on something, versus when you create something that's yours, it's 100% on you whether it works or it doesn't.
Exactly. You know, as creatives, you get paid based on your ideas, essentially, exactly. Right?
Yeah.
So, I think for OTA, just from a business aspect, I would say, like, yeah, without OTA, I think I mean, the store at this point could survive on its own, like if we were just reselling, like doing standard resale practice. But the brand is what's opened up a lot more opportunities, because like you said, there's been a bunch of stores that have opened up and closed within, I would say, I categorize stores like pre-pandemic and post-pandemic. Mm-hmm. A lot of post-pandemic stores are not open anymore because they thought that that money was going to last. Pre-pandemic stores, you know, we understood the grind and what it took to, you know, just standard business. Like your first 2 to 3 years aren't going to be like crazy, right? And it was a rare exception in our case because we just so happened to have a lot of Supreme at a time where Supreme was at the top of the market, right? And there was no real regulation until StockX had really taken the reins as far as pricing goes. But that maybe that first year or half year was kind of rough because we were trying to convince people to buy, you know, $300-$400 t-shirts, even more on some of them. But I think once the Supreme hype kind of caught on, and I think OTA is a big part of that, that first, like 2017, 2018, those 2 years were phenomenal for us sales wise. But me being, you know, 18, 19 at the time, a lot of that financial discipline wasn't there. Mm. So I was fucking off a lot of the money, whether it be on clothes for myself, food, traveling to LA to do the drops. And that all came to a head in 2019 when, you know, I'm like, that's when the market started getting regulated with StockX. And I was just like, damn, like sales aren't the same. Like we got to adapt. And that was 2019 still by far was probably our worst year sales wise. And that went straight into the pandemic.
Wow.
So, you know, we've seen the highest of the highs and the lowest of the lows. And then most of the stores that opened after the pandemic, they only saw the highs and then immediate lows because they couldn't afford to stay open after that. I would say like what most of them have closed. If they're not closed by now, most of them closed. Yeah. Like 2024, 2023, but opened in like 2021 ish. So
what's good, y'all? This year, we really want the pod to blow up, but we need your help to make it happen. So stop right there. Go drop a like, drop a comment down below. Now back to the episode.
Speaking about the highs and the lows of the market, that's actually good that you brought that up specifically with Supreme, because you know, on OTA's Instagram right now, you had an Instagram reel about the Supreme BOGOs.
Oh, yeah.
That one was super viral. And this shit went...
yeah.
This shit went dummy viral.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, the comment section on that reel is crazy because, you know, it's like a...
Yeah, when you open...
hate speech in there.
Yeah, when you open up the floodgates for those types of comments, because that reel specifically, it wasn't like... I was welcoming the hate, essentially.
Okay.
You know, so it was kind of just like, yeah, I was making fun of myself, essentially, right? Like, yeah, we invested all this, but we invested all this back then, but now it's not worth anything. I mean, for anybody that actually knows OTA, like, they know that we've sold all of those hoodies or all those box logos at a time where they were going for a lot. That video was more for just shits and giggles.
Mm.
But for the people that did, you know, buy and invest in a lot of those clothes back then, us included, the prices went down, but that's not just Supreme, that's been everything. Shoes probably took an even worse hit, you know, because at least Supreme isn't re-releasing all that stuff. People still want that stuff, but they're not re-releasing like every single one. But shoes like are not safe. Like they re-release Wu-Tangs. Like you thought crazy. That was
they're know. Releasing Undefeated Fours, like
yeah, releasing Undefeated Four.
Yeah,
are they?
Yeah.
Damn. Well, because yeah. They did. I know they did like the friends and family pair.
No, it's gonna drop
like a GR.
Yeah.
Wow.
Two pairs. Right. One of them is with the Jordan on the bottom and on the back. The other one's gonna be Nike Air.
Oh wow.
Wow.
I'm just like, you greedy bastards.
Yeah. Nothing safe.
Not this safe.
For the people that haven't seen it though, what would be the estimated price of it at that time, and then the estimated price now of that like collection of
box logos back then? I mean,
a rack. Oh. Easy.
How much did you say?
A rack. Oh, like a BOGO back then?
No, combined, like the whole collection combined.
That whole reel.
I mean, I was just saying in general, like as a consumer.
Give or take. Yeah. I mean, I would definitely say that stack was worth over 100,000. That was just box logos. We had more stuff.
Right.
Like older, like photo tees, North Faces that are worth more than those. But that box logo thing itself, yeah, I mean, I think it was a pretty honest estimation, probably around like 100. But now, definitely less than half, I would say like, not a lot of box logos held their value because, I mean, we were getting away with, like, shit, somebody from Dubai paid, like, 10 bands for one hoodie.
Oh, my goodness. Which one was it?
The grass green. It was grass green box logo, brand new with tags.
Ooh. Okay.
You know how a lot of people say if I had a time machine, I'd go back and, like, just, like, sports bit?
Yeah.
Nah, go back and buy them box logos, man. Yeah. Go back. See, buy every box logo you can.
I feel you,
and sell
but
it.
In 2016, I really didn't have the money like that to be buying BOGOs. But
that's why I'm seeing. Like, if you could time travel, you could go back from now to back then.
You was on that phone at 6 a.m. or you was in line in L.A.? That's it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But to kind of go on with this conversation, like, in the comments, it was crazy, though, because they was like, I swear to God, it was like, man, good. That's what he deserved. Good. Yeah, fuck him. Yeah, I'm like, damn, that's the homie. Like,
I mean,
shit on the homie.
Yeah, I mean, people want to say that it was our fault, but I mean, I feel like us and Round 2 had like a say in how that market went because we were probably like, for Supreme specifically, we were probably the biggest resellers at that time. But I don't know, like a lot of our stuff at least was in great quality as far as just or condition. We had a lot of stuff brand new with tags, not a lot of stuff that was beat. Like I seen Round 2 get away with some crazy prices for like shit that was smoked.
Oh, like, I just checked Round 2 vintage today. I'm like, that shirt is not worth $220.
No, yeah, I mean, but the thing was that was the market back then though, and kids were like fighting over it.
Right.
Like people would camp out in line over there and we're over here struggling selling a clean one for just $100 more, you know, at that time. Yeah. So, I mean, I feel like there wasn't the hate, I guess, is warranted because, I mean, they couldn't afford it back then. But, I mean, now you can. I would assume you can if you're that mad from 8 years ago.
Right.
Definitely,
but,
like.
But see, here's the thing, though. Like, now that people can afford it, it's not the thing to have anymore.
That's a real good testament of the fact that you didn't really want it. You just wanted it because everybody else wanted it.
Exactly. Because
if you really like clothes, like there's been stuff that I've bought that nobody would know about, but it's just like, I'm like, I really wanted this when I was like 13 or some shit, but I just didn't have the money for it.
Look at this hoodie.
Yeah.
This shit is, I got fucking Kim Kardashian sex tape on this motherfucker.
That's hard.
This shit hard. That's what I damn near wanted to take this to the store type shit.
No, yeah. I also resonate with that because a lot of these kids that would come and record YouTube videos of the shop back then, I wasn't like the biggest fan of. A couple of them were cool, but most of them, it was just like, I knew you were in it only for the views, not because you actually liked it.
Exactly.
And there was a disconnect there because like, I actually, still to this day, I mean, I'm still wearing Supreme, you know? So it's like, a lot of those kids back then, or, you know, just those types of people who are only wearing shit because it's hype. Like right now, I'd probably say it's Chrome. There was Chrome Hearts.
Yep.
And
Denim Tears.
I mean, Denim Tears. I consider
Gallery too.
But yeah, Gallery, yeah. Hellstar, Denim Tears. Yeah. Like, I feel like that's kind of like the standard. Spider, that's like the standard now. Before it was just like the major pillars of streetwear, like the Supremes, the Bapes, the Palaces, like. Those were the main ones. Now there's so many different things you could wear and different ways you can express yourself. But I feel like a lot of these kids who don't really have senses of direction or style are kind of just wearing whatever they see on TikTok. So
well, now it's turned a lot into like real high fashion stuff now. Like people are wearing like Rick. People are wearing like.
Yeah, I feel like it's been like that, honestly.
I mean, not really. Like back then, it was really.
Back then it was though.
Back then, it was rare. You weren't seeing kids head to toe.
But not like this. Not like this.
Yeah, exactly.
Me and Mike actually had this conversation. Like I think I reposted like an old Cardi video on my Instagram story. And like Mike responded. He was like, yeah, that was the last time we could afford any of the shit he wears.
Yeah.
Which is true. But like, kind of speaking of that though, like. How, like, because, you know, how you're talking about, like, back then it was these brands, right? You just list them off. Boom, 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 boom. But if you really think about those brands we were just talking about, they're not here anymore, or they don't have the same credence that they once did, right? Like, I don't know anybody that wears Hood by Air anymore.
I mean, you've got, with social media now, you have your niches where, right, like, people, you can get into, I mean, I've been on the deep depths of TikTok where people are wearing, like, crazy shit, right?
Right.
And they don't even look right on them, but, you know, they're wearing it because, you know, that's what they find cool and whatever. But, I mean, Hood by Air specifically, I mean, I don't know. I think the Cardi effect is real. Like, anything he wears, people are going to want.
Right. And that's actually a perfect question. I had that question written down because, you know, you were talking about this on your Instagram or on the Arms Instagram like a week or two ago. But reposted a picture of Cardi wearing V-Lone, obviously.
Yeah.
And then the next, it was the funniest shit in the world. You got a clip from Family Guy.
Oh, yeah.
The dude
y'all
got
laughed
rich
at me. Yeah, y'all laughed at me.
Y'all laughed at me.
Yeah.
And he hops off in a Ferrari and shit, but.
With bread.
Yeah, kind of with a baddie in the car. But kind of speak to that too. Like, does Cardi have that much influence to, like, if he wears some shit? It's out of there.
Yeah, maybe not on us directly,
right?
Because we're
just
a little
bit
older, but on the kids,
yeah,
100%.
Yeah,
because I mean, you got to think it was like that for us with Kanye, you know,
yes,
for our era when Kanye was wearing Jordan 1s with the leather pants and the elongated tees.
Damn, I got this nigga home. I'm like looking at my shit, yeah,
like that
polo, all the polo
right,
stuff,
all right, the polo shit. Like, yep, you know, it's just a different generation now. But
even his sneakers. Right.
Oh, like, yeah, 100%.
Yeezys went nuts.
Oh, yeah, in 2016.
Yeah. There was a good run where Adidas did take a lot of the hype from Nike. Yep. Like 2016, I'd say to 2018, maybe. There was, like, maybe even into the pandemic, there was still a lot more Adidas.
Yeezy jumped over Jumpman.
Yeah.
There
was, yeah, I think Cardi does, in this generation for sure, Cardi does have that type of pull. It was funny. I was talking to one of the people in his camp about that. I sent him the picture. I was like, yeah, what do you think about bro wearing V-Lo? And he's like, you know, we just wanted to show that any fit from any era, he could still get off, you know? And I was just like, damn, like, and that goes, and it went off. And then the next day at the shop, we sold 3 V-Lo tees. So it's like, you know, the Cardi effect is very, very real.
But that's crazy because I swear to God, me and Brandon were just talking about that. Like, anytime we've mentioned Cardi on the podcast, that shit does hella good.
Yeah. It's like the ability to galvanize your audience to have an opinion. Anytime your name is mentioned, they're there. And that's like a very powerful thing that not a lot of people have mastered.
Definitely. I mean, with somebody like him and all the people that are around him, to the T, I think they understand, like, influence and marketing. Like, people might not, I mean, people are going to say what they're going to say about him not dropping music, but from just a marketing and an influence standpoint, like, he's got it,
no,
you know,
facts.
So more power to them and that whole crew, so.
For sure, and that's what's kind of crazy, too, because speaking of Cardi, obviously, you know, you and I both went to ComplexCon.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, Brandon, were you there?
No, I wasn't there.
Oh, shit, I'm tripping. Why did I think you were there?
Because we talked about it. Because we talked about it on the podcast.
Yeah, I'm tripping, bro. My bad. But ComplexCon was, what was that, November 2024?
2 months ago, yeah.
Yeah, November.
Yeah, it feels like a year ago. But
that shit was only 2 months ago?
Yeah.
Wow.
Life is, like, really, it's weird. But I wanted to ask you, like, when they announced it, did Complex reach out? Or, like, how did that whole thing kind of work?
So... we knew that Complex was doing Vegas prior to them announcing it, but I was still debating whether or not I wanted to get a booth because I just didn't know how the brand, because I'm thinking from a brand aspect, right? I'm not thinking from the resale store aspect. So I'm thinking, like, well, it's Vegas. We have a really good following out here. I feel like it would translate, but then I was looking at those prices and I was just like, damn, like, you know, for how expensive it was, I didn't know if I could turn that much product in OTA. That was kind of me doubting the brand, essentially. Like, I didn't know if I could do that or not. But then we got I got an email from ThriftCon saying that they were renting out a whole area and the price would be discounted from the standard rate. So I was like, oh, yeah, if the price is discounted and I can sell resale stuff, well, vintage specifically, and the brand, like, then cool, I'll definitely do that. So I had to choose between doing a pop-up in Japan, because that was supposed to be fourth quarter 2024, or ComplexCon. And I ended up choosing ComplexCon just because I felt like it would have been a little bit easier. And I at the time that I had to book, you know, this was before the Choppa stuff dropped, so I didn't know the impact that the Choppa stuff was going to have. But yeah, I'm glad that we did ComplexCon, because it kind of solidified that collection in a sense, and in more than just like Vegas, because I'm getting texts from people seeing shit out in Dallas, out in like Riverside, back where I'm from.
Atlanta.
Like, I mean, I'm pretty sure it's in Atlanta.
Shout out Caribou.
Oh yeah, shout out Caribou. Yeah, yeah. This so like, dude, it's everywhere. Caribou.
Hell yeah, yeah. She's coming on the pod. Watch, but for like,
I'll try to line that up.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Hell yeah, but yeah. Kind of speak to like for the, those who couldn't attend. ComplexCon was 2 days of just fucking madness. Yeah. I don't, it would close everywhere. Yeah.
On go 24/7. Even like that week prepping. But I mean, for us, we set up that Thursday, Friday. It was a pretty easy setup because, you know, we don't have any crazy build out. We're just bringing clothes, but it was still a lot to stay on top of because, you know, with brands, right, you're only bringing like maybe 10 to 20, like, actual SKUs of items, just a lot of stock. We're bringing
over
like 200 to 300 different pieces.
Yeah.
So me and my partner Steven.
Shout out to Steven.
Yeah, shout out to Steven. We're over here, you know, splitting the booth essentially, like, okay, you have this side and you bring these types of pieces and I'll bring these types of pieces, right? And that first day or setting up was cool. I was able to talk to like all the booths around us, visit some of the booths for the other brands before they opened. But that first day, like before GA and VIP gets in, I get into the Travis line and I'm thinking, all right, cool. Like we're here fairly early. We should only be in here for like, you know, maybe 2 to 3 hours.
Hell no.
Bruh. I was in that Travis line from 10:30 a.m. to like 5 p.m.
Yeah.
No bathroom breaks, no nothing, because they said if we got out of line, we're losing our spot. So I'm thinking, me and my homie Milner, shout out Milner, we're sitting over there going through it. We're like, bro, like, is this shit even worth it?
So y'all was going to piss on y'all self for some merch.
Yeah, and I'm thinking like, me and Milner were at, that was like, that was the definition of like thugging it out, because that shit was not fun.
Y'all better than me. It would have been a biohazard incident.
Yeah. No, yeah, we were.
If I was in that fucking line.
We were over there just, you know, hoping for the best. And then, you know, we were able to get in and grab a lot of stuff. But then he dropped it all online. So that was kind of like a big waste of time.
Yeah.
Because I would have much rather. The Cardi line was probably shorter.
Yeah.
And he didn't drop any of that stuff online. So yeah. From a resale aspect, I was pissed. But what was kind of getting me through it was, you know, I'm in line, but I'm getting texts from all my homies like, bro, I'm seeing everybody wearing OTA. I'm looking at the sales through my phone from the booth. And, you know, I'm seeing a bunch of OTA stuff selling. I'm like, yo, like, this is, you know, for the brand, it's amazing, you know, the exposure. Giving out the free tote bags. We gave out the best tote bags, by the way.
For sure, yeah.
That during ComplexCon. But that whole first day experience, aside from camping out, because after we camped out, that's when we went back to the booth. I worked that last 2 hours. We got to see Cardi. Actually, no, we got Metro first.
Yeah, explain that.
Yeah, and then... Well, we went to watch Cardi. So yeah. I missed most of his set, but after they had closed the floor, I remember I asked you and the guys, I was like, yo, like, I have a high probability of getting Metro to the booth.
Yeah, yeah.
I just need you guys to hold it down. Like,
yeah.
Just,
I was like, shit, I'm chilling. Yeah,
I was telling them, like, I was like, look, if you guys want to leave, like, that's cool. I'll bring them back myself. Just close the booth. But I was pretty sure that we were going to be able to get bro to the booth because he said he wanted to go. But I didn't realize that where the green room or the trailers were for the artists, it was behind the stage. And where the stage was, it was on the exact opposite side of that hall. And that hall isn't small. It's like low key, like, I don't know, I wouldn't say a mile, but
it's huge.
It was huge, yeah. Right? Going from one end to the other, it took some time.
Yeah.
So, I remember it was pretty easy to finesse back there. I was just telling, I mean, if you know how to move, you know how to move, you know, so I don't want to go too much into detail, but if you know how to move, you can get into those places. So I was able to get backstage fairly easily. And then, after Bro's performance, I think I got in with like 10 minutes left after he had brought Offset out. And then it came down to just chilling in like the back trailer area where everybody was at, like Cardi, Ken, all of Opium, Travis, all of his camp, everybody's just out there chilling. And I'm over here like, you know, I don't want to be that guy, but like I've got people at the booth waiting, like they're on the verge of getting kicked out because the security's trying to kick them out.
Explain
what happened on your end.
Security was doing their rounds and they were doing some like Gestapo shit. They were like, everybody pull out your wristbands. I'm like, so I like had my wristband, but like I had a jacket on that day, so I was hiding my wrist. So I was like, I barely, because what was it? What color was your wristband?
You needed to have like an exhibitor band, I think.
Right, yeah. So the regular ones were like orange, purple, whatever. Yeah. If your shit was the wrong color, get the fuck out of there. Because they cleared, because they got on the intercom. I don't know if you were there yet.
I don't think so. Yeah, I think after the booth closed, I was out.
So on the floor, whenever they told everybody to clear out, this lady got on the intercom and she was like, if you are not an exhibitor, please leave. If you are not an exhibitor, please leave. Like from the intercom. Now, this is at ComplexCon. This is the fucking Las Vegas Convention Center. So this shit sounds like...
It sounded like the Squid Games.
When for real. Squid Games type shit.
Yeah.
So we just hanging back, chilling and shit. And I was just kicking it, booing, whatever. And fucking Mike texts us or whatever. He's like, yo, just stay right there. Like, what's it called? Metro might come. I was like...
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to be like positive, you know. I'm like, look, he told me he wanted to come.
Right.
Verbally, he said he wanted to come. But I'm thinking just like the logistics, like, am I really going to have bro walk like damn near a mile to the booth?
Right.
And I'm like, because I was talking to his security, Flea.
Oh,
and
the big
yeah,
dude.
The big dude.
That, bro, Metro security, I swear to God, this nigga is 7 foot tall. Like, it's crazy.
Well, not that dude, not him. Oh. Another one. I don't think he went to the booth, but I know which.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, but
whoever came with Metro when he came to the booth, I said, this nigga huge, man.
No, the other dude, I was telling him, because he had some stuff at the booth too that he had bought. Mm-hmm. But he was like, I sent him the location. I showed him where the booth was. He's like, bro, that shit's literally on the opposite side of the building. Like, I don't think bro's gonna want to walk that far. And I'm like, damn, like, so it's like low key a stretch. And then I'm waiting. Bro's recording all these videos with all these like influencers that are out there. And then it got to a point where I was just like, I remember I literally texted Noah and all my homies. He's I was like, honestly, bro, like, it's not looking too good. Yeah. Y'all can leave.
Mission
like,
failed, right?
Yeah, like, you know, my bad, like, literally my bad. And then as soon as, like, I texted that, bro's like, all right, let's go. And
bro,
I'm like,
so that shit was crazy, right?
The timing was nuts.
Yeah, divine timing, I swear to God. Me and Virgil are literally, like, there's a point on the floor where, like, if you cross this point, basically.
You're not getting back.
You're not getting back, exactly. Yeah. We literally were right there, me and Virgil. And you text us is like, all right, turn back. We come. I'm like, oh my fucking God. We literally turn back and like, we're back at the booth and shit. And you know, now nobody's on the floor.
No, yeah.
Nobody.
Except security.
And that it's dead. Like on that, on our side of the convention center floor, or whatever, it's dead. Right. And maybe like from that text to when Metro started walking to the booth might've been like, I mean, you know, in our views, maybe like,
10 minutes?
No, it was like 5 minutes. Okay, but when you text us to when me and Virgil turned back, got back to the booth, and then we're just waiting, and I'm like, Metro and his crew is walking to us, like, because they had to turn the corner.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. So, yeah, you would have to
turn the corner and shit, and we see him turn the corner. I'm like, holy shit, this motherfucker wasn't lying type shit.
Yeah, no, I was able to make it happen. I'm glad, like, you know, I mean, that just goes to show, like, we've got the strength. Like, that's a real relationship that we built over the, you know, 8 years that I've known him. So for him to go out of his way, like he did us a solid, like he didn't need to go down to the booth and buy hella shit. Like I remember, I think the next day he just had his manager go to the booth and pick stuff up for him. Like, mm-hmm. he could have just did that. But, you know, us having that relationship, he knew, like, that would mean a lot for the store and the brand for him to just pull through and, like, spend the money that he did, you know? So I'm grateful for the relationship we have and what we've built and, you know, keeping that thing going. It's, you know, something that it's been a pleasure. So
of course. Hey,
shout out Metro, man.
Yeah, shout out Metro three times.
Thank y'all so much for making it this far into the episode. If you're enjoying the episode, go ahead and drop a comment down below and let us know who you want us to interview next.
Kind of speak to that too, because something I noticed when I was there, obviously, like while I was taking photos, like you were still like helping him like pack up his clothes that he bought and making sure that transaction went well. Like,
yeah, on go, think numbers, all that. Like, because I'm trying to make sure it's quick too, because I don't want them
listen,
to.
Listen, I love Mike, my Brandon. Mike is chill as fuck, but when it's some like we on business time, he get on a nigga ass quick.
No, yeah, I'm on go.
He was like, anybody got a phone? Somebody got to take a picture. Come on, come on. I'm like, shit.
We gotta get. I mean, I wasn't really tripping on the content.
Not like
but,
that. No. But it's like we got company, so we gotta.
Yeah, we gotta make sure.
Yeah, we gotta make sure this shit him. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So.
Cause like, my point is though, is like, how do you like, kind of like, you know, when you're serving a celebrity client, like, is there anything to look out for, like as a store? Right.
I mean, look out for in what case?
In like the same level of service that I get when I walk into the store or the same level of service that 17-year-old kid gets, I feel is the same level of service that Metro gets.
Oh yeah. I mean, in that case, I mean, I don't know. You don't want to come off as like glazing too much.
Right,
I feel like if you come off like that, you might fall into that category of people, especially like, I wouldn't say Metro specifically, but I've seen a lot of like higher end clients. Once they find out that you're in it for like the clout or you're glazing, like they'll exploit you for that.
Oh,
like take advantage of that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, I mean, in my case, like you said, just providing the same quality service that we provide everybody. I think that's kind of the one thing I've learned when dealing with celebrity clients or higher end clients that spend a lot of money. You don't want to do too much, but you also want to make sure that you feel like they feel like they're being tended to correctly. In a sense, you don't want to be like, hey, like even when Caribou was in the shop recently, like I didn't want to come off too strong, you know, like, hey, like we got this. Instead I kind of let her do her own thing, and then like when the opportunity presented itself, you're like, hey, like if you haven't seen anything, like I've got a couple pieces that I think you might like, and then it ended up being, you know, some capital stuff and then the OTA stuff, so yeah, ended up working out. So but that's something for sure that you don't want to, like I said, don't fall into that category of where some people, I'm not saying everybody's like that, but there are some celebrities that will exploit that, and you'll fall in that category for sure.
And is that something that like you kind of learned on the fly, or like you just always had that in mind? Because like for some people I know, like this is something I kind of struggle with sometimes, like with my photography work, is that like, oh, we went to high school together. Oh, we went to college together. Oh, I know your brother. So I'm gonna look out for you. You know what I mean? I don't even got a charge type shit.
Yeah.
But then I'm on the end of like, bro, what the fuck? I'm doing hella work. I got to get this film developed. I got to drive all the way to Maryland to get this shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm assuming for you, it's kind of the same thing. Like, yeah, we cool, but my price is my price.
I think it devalues your brand, right? Because like they wouldn't go to the Louis store and then just get
yeah,
shit
you ain't
for free
asking
for a
no
shout out
to Louis.
Yeah, for a shout out, right? So why would you, if you treat your brand that way, like you said, they're going to start looking at you as Lil Bro.
Exactly.
Like, oh, just hit up Lil Bro. We'll do a shout out. He'll give us hella clothes.
Yeah. So I've seen that. I've definitely seen that firsthand. And I think I might have fallen into the category of that very early, but I caught on very quickly once I realized, like, you know, I think our first celebrity client was Travis. So, and at that time, it was before he was, like, very popular, but he definitely was still popular, but not to where he is now. But, you know, when he came through, like, since that was, like, my first business celebrity transaction, it was, like, a mix of, like, oh, damn, like, I'm a fan. So I want to make sure, you know, I leave an impression essentially, but then, you know, leaving the impression, the store and the product, I didn't realize at the time, but that is the impression. If you have good product, people are going to come back. If you provide good service, people are going to come back, whether it be a celebrity client, whether it be, you know, a 17-year-old kid, you know, whatever it be. So, I've seen firsthand kids that made livings off of just giving celebrities free shit. You know, I unfortunately wasn't blessed with that, you know, type of bankroll to where I could afford to give tens and thousands of dollars in product to said clients. But I've seen people do that, and then in turn they get looked at as like, oh, I know they're not actually making money because they're giving all that shit for free to people. So when it comes to making actual sales, people are going to think, oh, you're going to look out for me. As opposed to like,
that's what they've been used to.
Yeah, because that's what, you know, that's what they promote. That's what, whatever it be. In our case, like, I mean, if you're spending a lot, I'm going to look out. But also, like you said, like, my price is my price, you know, like, we're providing a service for whoever it be. I know when Travis was shopping with us back then, he wasn't getting all those box logos anywhere else. Like, it was like us and maybe Unique Hype Collection in New York. But I think we were like, for specifically Supreme, it was just us two. So, you know, that is the service that we provide, essentially, that we go through finding and sourcing these types of pieces that you just can't find anywhere. So.
And something I kind of wanted to harp back on too is like, when you have a client or just anybody in general that buys OTA or shops at the store, and they kind of go, you know what? Yeah, that BOGO shit was cool, but I'm cool. I ain't shopping here no more. Like, how do you deal with that?
What you mean?
Like you spoke on this on the last episode, like Bad Bunny had wore the swan dive jacket.
Oh, yeah.
But to my knowledge, he hasn't worn any OTA recently.
Recently, no, yeah.
Right. Is that still something that, like, yo, I still want to see him in some OTA?
Oh, yeah. I mean, for sure. I mean, once you've lined that up, like, shout out to Shapes. It's one of my homies' brands. And he recently had Bad Bunny wear some of his clothing in his latest, like, album cycle, like, promo. So seeing that kind of, like, reinvigorated me to, like, be like, damn, like, not that I'm going to make pieces geared towards him, but, like, I got to make something that translates in this day and age for the people who dress like that, essentially, you know, because everybody's style is always changing, especially with, like, you know, the higher end clients. But at the end of the day, like, people are going to, I'd stop making clothes, like what I was telling the little homie, like, don't make clothes for people that you're trying to impress. You know, so I make what OTA makes. And in the event that we make a piece that looks like something that somebody like a higher end client would wear, then I'll try to seed it out to them. But I mean, regardless, I know even outside of clothing and selling them, like, whatever it be, vintage, streetwear, whatever, like, I know I'm solid with that group to begin with. You know, we were selling bro clothes before he was popular or, like, super popular. So, like, we've built, same thing with Metro, we've built that relationship to where, you know, he might not go to the store or he might not wear OTA, but I know whenever they're in town, or if I ever go, if I'm ever out of town, want to go to a show or whatever, I'm valid, you know? Like, I knew, I remember, I don't remember what year this was. It might have been 2019, pre-pandemic, but there was this girl that I was talking to, and she was at a Bad Bunny show, right? Or she had told me she was going to a Bad Bunny show. And I told her, because it was her birthday. And then I asked my homie, who is, like, bro's right hand. And I was like, hey, like, it's my girl's birthday. Do you think you can upgrade her ticket? She's already there. Or she's going there. He's like, yeah, say no more. I got you. So I put her name on the list. Or
look
just
at little Mike.
Yeah, man. But and this was strings, this man. Was listen. This was out of state too. This wasn't in Vegas either. Woo! Yeah, so this was out of state, and
that's
I,
different, man.
Yeah, and then I see her post. She sends me. She's like, dude, I'm in the front, like literal front row. Nobody else is near us.
Man.
And I was like, well, I mean, I didn't know they were gonna bless her like that. Uh-huh. But you know, just to have that type of pull. With that type of artist, because this was 2019, so he was pretty popular at that time. Yeah. But I mean, that goes to show that the relationships that were built, they're all solid. Like, it's not just transactional per se, you know, like, I actually talk to them about, you know, whatever be going on, and just building real relationships outside of just, like I said, transactional clothing things, you know?
Right. And that's something that I've always been like really in awe at, you know, with the way you moved, is that like, you're somebody that like, you know, a lot. I think I do the same shit. Like, I'm hella cool with a lot of people.
Yeah.
Right. But it ain't really too many people that I'm a look out for type shit. You know what I'm saying? So kind of tying that in, there was, I can't remember his name, but the director of, I think Moonlight. Yeah. They asked him like, what was the worst advice he ever got? And he said like networking, right? And what he was saying was like, you don't want to network like, what's it called? Is this vertical or horizontal?
Vertical.
Vertical thing. I was, you know, yeah. CCSD education. But you don't want to network vertical as in like how you were talking about chasing like, oh, these big names or whatever. Like you want to build with the people around you type shit.
Yeah. I mean, whatever's organic, you know, you don't want to just, my bad to cut you off.
No, you're good. I cut people off all the time. You're good.
Were you leading somewhere with that? Or?
No, go ahead. Yeah.
So I was just like, to that point, like why I think I have good relationships with, you know, whoever it be, the Metros, the Bad Bunnies, the Dylan Francis's, like certain people, it's because it's not just I'm aiming for the head dude, essentially. You know, I'm cool with everybody around them too. I make sure, you know, if they want stuff like in the event or in the case of Complex Con, my boy Flea, Metro's security guard I was talking about, he needed some shoes. Right. I was like, okay, cool. I got you. Lined it up. Got him the shoes the day before it came out. So like that, it's that type of quality service that I'm providing for not just the head dude. It's everybody around them. And that's how you kind of establish yourself within those groups. You're providing a service for everybody, not just like, oh yeah, let me try to get, you know, the top dude. Right. So that's where you would fall in that category of kind of glazing too hard. And I see it a lot in, you know, the resale game back then. Maybe not as much now, but maybe that's because I'm not super tuned into the resale game. But I knew back then for sure, like, that was something that I was made aware of very quickly and made sure that I didn't want to fall in that category.
So yeah. That's different, Pulto. That's like Mafia Don shit. You know what it reminded me of? We don't have the poster anymore, but you know, in the movie Goodfellas, when he goes in the back room through the kitchen and shit, they bring out like a table just to put out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what that shit reminded me of.
I mean, it's just concert. I get what you're saying, though.
But it's like, it's real solid like advice, because a lot of the times people focus on, like you said, the one guy.
Yeah.
Versus when you take care of everybody, right? You kind of infiltrate the network in a way, because that person, you know, the artist or whoever the top person is, only has so much time of the day. It's going to be near impossible to get in contact with them. That's why you got to kind of like get the people around them, and then you'll get tapped into like the circle type stuff.
Yeah, for sure. So that's something, I mean, I didn't really become aware of it until like recently, I'd say, but it was something that, you know, just me being the type of person I am, like I try to, you know, provide that same quality service with everybody. So I don't want to be like the guy that's telling kids like, oh yeah, like glaze fucking everybody now. But it's like, if you're providing a good service and people fuck with you, then, you know, that's how that would work out for you. So.
Yeah. Cause if you provide good service or good anything, people come back.
Exactly.
Right. I mean, obviously, what's it called? You know, this is your second episode.
Yeah. Facts.
Type shit.
Yeah. Facts. Facts.
If we didn't have a good relationship, you wouldn't come back.
Yeah, facts.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's kind of something I think we all kind of live by in this room in our respective careers or endeavors, whatever. Just like, don't be on no fuck shit.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying? And that's why I wanna talk to the camera. I don't know why y'all do this in Vegas. Why, like, do y'all think y'all could just pull off so much fuck shit and think we're gonna fuck with you? People remember how you made them feel, bro.
Facts.
I'm just letting, you know what I'm saying?
Real shit.
Like, if you was an asshole, I wouldn't be wearing your goddamn t-shirts.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? No, real shit.
No, that's real shit, though.
It is, because motherfuckers be dickheads.
Yeah. 100%. I mean, for certain, I feel like certain brands get that pass. Like, you see the jokes of, like, you know, you go to whatever store it be and they treat you like shit, but you still buy the shit. Like, yes. Yeah, like, I mean, I'm sure we're victims of that. In, you know, some maybe the higher end brands, but whatever it be like.
Oh yeah, I went to Prada once, bro. The fucking security guard, he looked at me like, I swear to God, he looked at me like I stole the cash register, bro.
There's no public restrooms here, sir.
No public restroom is crazy.
Like, crazy. I'm like, damn, bro. I'm just here to get a wallet. I'm not even here to get the big bags. I'm just here to,
That also goes back to like a lot of those brands have like established, you know, decades, like almost centuries of experience. And like you said, I think the young brands are the ones that can't afford to have that because, like you were mentioned at the beginning of the episode, right? If you don't drop consistently every season, people forget about you. Mm-hmm. The only way you get away with that is if you are like a Dior or a Gucci or a Louis.
Established. Even then, you see those brands, they don't take those breaks.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they're dropping like, I mean, they just did the runway show for the Nigo Pharrell shit.
Yep,
and that shit don't drop until like end of this year or early next year or whatever.
Can I ask you, if you're comfortable answering, how you feel about that collection?
I'm gonna come clean. I wasn't really moved.
I mean, neither.
I mean,
I love Pharrell, top five producer of all time, but...
I feel, in any clothing collection, I mean, I feel this way about Supreme too. It's like, you know, 50% of it probably wouldn't wear. Then there's like that 20 to 25% that might flip. And then there's like 10% of the pieces that I might actually wear. Right. Mm. So with Louis, I mean, I'm not an avid consumer of Louis Vuitton. So, I mean, I don't really have too much say, I guess, but from somebody who loves Pharrell and loves Nigo, I mean, I feel like for their first joint collection, it could have paid a little more homage to the roots. Like, I know they did the shoes, which was cool. That was probably like what I liked most about it, paying homage to, you know, what got them in those positions, essentially. But as far as the other clothes go, I mean, to me, it just looks like standard Louis Vuitton stuff, you know, just with Pharrell and Nigo branding. Yeah. I will say, I think I told you this too, I did like the clear trunk. The clear trunk was cool.
Okay.
And how they, I guess, promoted it. They had like a dude wearing like a Louis vest. He kind of looked like a postman. Mm-hmm. He was pushing it like that. I thought was probably like my favorite part of the whole runway for sure.
Yeah.
But,
speaking of that, I had another question for you actually. Like, this is something I just wanted to see what you thought about. Like, let's say you get a call from like Stussy or like fucking, I don't, whatever your favorite brand is, right?
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, here's the keys to the castle, bro. You rock out.
Yeah.
Are you taking that?
Well, first, which brand would you want it to be?
Like if Tremaine call you like, hey, big dog, I'm gonna let you do this denim tears thing. Switch out all this African shit for the Philippines and we go.
I mean, I've never thought about that, but I mean,
they gonna ask you, bro. Come on.
I don't know. I feel like I'm so locked in with OTA because at that point, speaking for like, I don't know, like a Stussy or a Denim Tier specifically or whatever brand it'd be like, I know that's not my brand at the end of the day. Mm. So it would be hard for me to take the keys for that. I feel like at least with something that Angelo was talking about in his interview at ComplexCon 2 was like, at least with, you know, being the creative director Supreme, like, yeah, you're putting out a bunch of product that people like, but at the end of the day, that's not him, right? He said, like, it got to a point where, like, yeah, like, I'm getting older. I don't want to wear stuff that says, like, fuck or shit on it, right? I want to wear, he said something about, like, two-tone loafers or something crazy like that, right? But, like, I resonated with that because it's, like, with, in my case, like, with OTA, like, I'm starting slowly. I've been putting out pieces that, you know, resonate well, but it's all stuff that I would wear too. Cause before I was putting out a bunch of OTA and I wouldn't wear any of it. And I felt kind of weird. Like, I think Tremaine said he doesn't wear denim tears. I find that a little strange. I feel like as a brand owner, you should be proud. I'm sure he is proud of the clothes he's putting out and the message that it's putting out, but I still feel like, you know, on a product, in style wise, you would still want to wear the stuff that you put out.
100%. Yeah. At least some of it. Like you were talking about earlier.
At least some of it.
You got OTR on right looks. Now. Hey,
yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Crew you know? Necks on sale right now.
Fact.
Type. But.
But yeah. That's something that like, I'm just still trying to figure out, like, you know, with OTA being around for years now, like how does a brand like evolve in terms of audience, right? Because obviously you and I are like close in age, like we're almost 30, which is fucking crazy. This motherfucker keep calling me Unc. I don't like that shit. I love it. I took on the nickname, but like, how do you kind of avoid being like your brand being like Unc fashion? Because nobody wears Fat Farm no more.
I mean,
a Rock-A-Wear, like that shit, you done for.
Yeah, I mean, people, they're
look, he was like, nah.
Sean John.
No, Sean John.
There's those niches where people, or for the people that didn't wear it, that weren't alive for that era, like I'm noticing young kids wear that stuff because they weren't alive in that era to wear that stuff. But for people like us who were kind of around it at that time, or, you know, that might have been a little older for me, but seeing like, you know, my uncles wear those types of things, or like their friends wearing those types of things. I feel like for us, it's just staying current, I guess. I mean, I'm pretty tapped in with what's going on. As far as like, I kind of have to be on a resale tip.
Right.
And that in turn helps with the brand stuff, because in order for the store to make money, I need to know what's selling to the kids, right? Or what people are buying. So I have to be real tapped in with either the vintage community, see what streetwear is doing well. And that in turn helps the brand aspect too. So it all goes hand in hand.
But like, how do you like kind of like, has there ever been a time where you like, you were looking at TikTok and seeing what the kids are wearing? You're like, what the fuck are you? Like, I feel like at one time we were those kids and now we're like the OGs looking at the next generation like, man, what y'all wearing? But
the avant-garde all Balenciaga down fits.
Yeah, but that shit is hard though to them. Yeah, not, I got shit that, you know.
I got to be in public.
Yeah. For me, right? As somebody like, you know, as a reseller, and we're on the, I guess, the streetwear side, but there are other curators like the Justin Reeds and the Lukes and the 4G sellers that cater to a higher end crowd essentially. But they sell different types of pieces than we do. But those types of pieces, like there's so many different niches now with how social media is and TikTok is. I feel like back then you probably wouldn't have been able to get away with it. But now that people are expressing themselves in all sorts of different ways, like you can find your niche fairly easily. Now, if it's to see it translate into a successful business model, though, that's like a whole other conversation. But you know, I've seen stores that focus on only archive, even though archive is cool and there's a good crowd for it, but business wise it's not the smartest because the margins might not be there, or you're not moving enough product and so forth. So, you know, there's a lot of different things when it comes to like just how fashion and style is now. But I think with what I was getting to is like with OTA, like we know what we are and we're like zeroing in on that, as opposed to trying to like go the complete archive route or the complete higher end designer route. Like we are rooted in streetwear and that's what we got known for. Now we're just kind of adding to what already did well for us and seeing what does good and what doesn't. And I think we've rounded out the curation of the shop fairly well. So
yeah, I agree. Cause you know, remember that when I tried on that number 9 sweater?
Which one?
The one, it shit, like, it was like a
The cardigan one?
Yeah, that shit looking crazy.
Yeah,
someone,
I mean,
buy that shit.
Yeah. Okay. All the Japanese designer stuff does fairly well, but.
No,
yeah.
I'm going to tell Brad, no. So, because, you know, I like wearing, like, I swear to God, I feel like in this stage of my life, like, because I have the money now, I guess, like, I mix, like, designer shit with, like streetwear shit.
Yeah.
So, for example, these are Rick. But I wear these to every single
fault.
Huh? I mean, he said my fault.
But you wouldn't even be able to tell they were Rick.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I love. Like, you can't tell. These look like regular jeans.
That's what I was going to say about you. Like, a lot of the stuff you wear is, like, real, like, minimalistic.
Yeah.
Not to say you're unk, but, like, it's like, you know, a little bit more, like, you're not as, like, flashy about it.
Nah, hell no. Because if I, like, how I was saying, like, because the number 9 sweater I tried on, it caught my eye, but that shit was for somebody like weighing 120 pounds, bro.
Yeah, no, the Japanese.
That shit was looking crazy. I didn't look right. Yeah. I was looking like, yay. So I guess trying to reel it back though. So the way that a brand can kind of like, you know, keep up with the times is to stop worrying about the times themselves.
Yeah, I mean, just focus on what you're doing essentially. Like with OTA, like I don't think we've ever strayed away from, you know, who we are. I think if anything, I've kind of more zeroed into what we are. Like I've been putting more of like what I'm into the clothing, as opposed to like me trying to make shit for like people that, you know, like when there was a time where I was trying to make something like, oh, I feel like Bad Bunny would wear this, or Metro would wear this, or Jordan Clarkson would wear this. Like, I was making pieces with the intent of trying to get it to those people, instead of making pieces with the intent of like, oh, this is what I actually stand for and what something I would want to wear myself. And then just something that resonates with the crowd of OTA. Like, I think I'm past the days of where, like, I think you don't, with OTA, like, I don't need to overcomplicate things. Like, I know what the brand is and what our strengths are, and I'm going to continue playing to that while continually slowly pushing the boundary to see what other types of pieces we could make. Because, like, for the Martin Aristotle collection, when we did that tumbled leather jacket, that was, like, the first, like, most brands don't even get to that point of making, like, a good quality leather jacket. But in our case, like, that was the, that was a swing, you know. We needed to see how it would resonate, and seeing Yachty wear it in the music video, I forgot what song it was for, but he wore it in one of the Concrete Boys music videos. That was the validation for the brand that, okay, we can get away with this. I didn't make that, me and Timmy didn't make that with the intent to try to like seed it to a celebrity. We were just trying to make a piece that would separate us from just being like, you know, regular TikTok brands or whatever it be, you know?
Right.
So, and yeah, I think with the sales of that jacket also solidified that as well. So
yeah, no, because like that I tried on the jacket when it was just a sample. Like that's like, man, it's like way bigger brands that don't have that good leather.
Yeah. And for the price too.
Like, oh, for sure, for the price. Like that jacket's like some shit my pops would have worn in the 90s type shit.
Yeah.
But so, speaking of that though, like, you know, when it comes to like sourcing materials and like logistics, like, do you, like, how the fuck do you figure that shit out though?
Or
how did you figure it out when you had to for the first time?
It's kind of like an ongoing thing that you learn, but I mean, I have the beauty of working at, you know, a resale shop. So I see a lot of pieces that people bring in. I'm around a lot of these pieces. So like I pull references every day from, whether it be stuff more so from vintage, not too much from streetwear, but I think maybe streetwear is something that I think enough time has passed for certain eras to where we can start paying homage to those times. Like I was saying earlier, like the golden age of Supreme when Angelo was the creative director, I think enough time has passed, you know, 10, 13 years where brands can start paying homage to those pieces, as opposed to like when I first started OTA, if you were to bite something that was only like 4 or 5 years old, that's kind of like crazy, you know? But whatever it be, I think, yeah, I see stuff on the internet every day. Initially that, the LSD jacket, the leather jacket that we were talking about, it wasn't going to be tumbled leather. It was going to just be like a flat leather, right? Mm. And then I was seeing, I forgot who posted it. I think it might have been Ian Connor. Mm-hmm. And he posted like a sample tumbled leather jacket. And I was like, damn, tumbled leather low-key like looks fire. And like even paying homage back to like, you know, some of the older shoes that had tumbled leather, like tumbled leather Air Forces. You know, that was like that meant like your forces were quality, you know, yeah. Like that's like some different shit, right? So when I pitched that idea to Timmy, he was like, oh yeah, like that was something that resonated well. And then, yeah, it added a texture to it, added like a different look to it aside from it being a leather jacket. So finding like the back leather though, because the LSD patch, it had like the green on it, finding a tumbled leather for that took a while. Yeah. So, I mean, I leave most of that to the manufacturers, but I mean, if worst case, I mean, I think I've only done this one time where I would have to like go to LA and source like an actual material for something that they don't have overseas, but overseas they've got fucking everything. Yeah. So yeah, it's more or less just providing references and then being very specific with what you want, because you'll tell them one thing, if you show them, like, even if, like, let's say your graphic on your hoodie isn't fully centered, they're going to put it wherever
they see, okay,
wherever they see it. Yeah. That was an instance where like some of the OTA hoodies, like I had it on the chest, but on the mock-up, it was closer to the neck and all the hoodies came with it closer to the neck.
Oh, shit.
So it's like shit like that. I mean, it ended up looking fine, but it's still like goes to show like you need to be very specific when dealing with manufacturers.
So like that's a question I have too. Like, who the fuck hooked you up with your manufacturer? Like, are you flying to like Vietnam, like Frank Lucas, an American gangster?
Hell no.
Trying to bring the dope back.
I mean, I would love to go meet my manufacturer. I haven't met them yet, but I mean, I've been with this manufacturer since I think maybe our second Cut and Sew collection.
Right.
Second or third. I remember the first Cut and Sew collection, I went through like different ones. But I think with growing the relationship with the manufacturer, like they've always provided quality service. So, you know, I'll keep going. It was more or less for me learning what I wanted, because like you'll send them references, like I'll ship them pieces that I like. But it took a little bit of time for me to learn like, okay, this is what the weight is. How does that factor into the cost and all these extra things? And how do you make it profitable in the long run and so forth? But yeah, like, it's just been a learning experience with every drop that we do. So I try to, grow with them essentially.
Yeah. No. Okay. So that was, so, cause I was always wondering that. I'm like,
I mean, I would love to go. I mean, most of it is just talk through text, WhatsApp and all that. But,
that's how you know it's real when it's WhatsApp. Do we still use that dude to edit our shit?
Oh yeah, that's how we always used to.
Okay,
yeah. I don't know. Yeah, WhatsApp international, international.
Hell yeah, they don't know. If you get some shit done, you for sure doing some international WhatsApp shit. Yeah.
Facts.
Yeah, but I mean, wrapping up, I got like just a few more questions, and you know, we'll get the fuck up out of here. But I think something I always was wondering too was like in doing my research for this episode, like I think Blake Linder, right? He came to the store. What was it 2016, something like that?
17, 18,
around probably, that time. And what I noticed was when he recorded himself like opening the door to OTA. Before, you could just walk up and grab the door.
Yeah.
And I swear to God, that door doesn't look as heavy as it is now.
Yeah.
But now, obviously, there's like a gate. You have to knock here. There's like a sign that says knock here. Someone comes to the door. Was there like a, did something happen to cause that?
So initially, it was because of the pandemic.
Okay.
That was like the first thing. Like we didn't expect that much traffic going in the pandemic. So we kept the doors locked. Mm-hmm. There were other times we would keep the doors locked, but that was due to like weather. Cause sometimes it'd be really windy and like our door would just fling open. Mm-hmm. But initially it was because of the pandemic. Right. And then during the pandemic, there was a store in Town Square, Grailstorm.
Yeah, shout out to the homie C's, yeah.
Yeah, so I would get texts from them like every other week of people like hitting their store and like running out with product. And I was like, yeah, that's not going to happen at OTA. So we're keeping this bitch locked. So that was essentially why we kept the door locked. And it's been like that for the past like 4 years. I mean, it's not like we get crazy foot traffic to begin with. Like we're kind of out the way. But yeah, I mean, it's mainly for security purposes. And then all the robberies that were happening in California, like people running out with shit, like, yeah, like that shit is not flying over here. So
I mean, speaking of robberies, fucking, I mean, shout out to Bring It Back, but they just got robbed like last night.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. This morning I saw that. Yeah.
And like as a store owner, like how does that shit make you feel? And then also too, like you had this, I've always wanted to ask you about this Instagram post, but like fucking Mikey, he being a photographer shit. Like, It's a Supreme BOGO, but there's like shards of glass and there's like blood on the shards of glass.
Yeah.
Can you explain that photo?
That photo is when we first got broken into, Christmas 2017. Yeah. Man, Christmas 2017.
Broken on Christmas. Lord.
Yeah. Christmas Day.
Unbelievable. Christmas Day?
Christmas Day. Unbelievable.
Explain that though.
So, well, yeah, I mean, unfortunate what happened to Bring It Back. They're,
shout out to Bring It Back. Yeah.
North Premium Outlet.
The Premium Outlets location, like, shit like that, as a store owner, it just hurts to see like people taking those types of L's, because I've been through it. Like I understand that shit's not, you know, it's I wouldn't say it's hard, not hard to bounce back from, but like just having to deal with it is just fucking, it's just a headache, you know? But yeah, 2017, when we first got broken into, that was me being 18, 19 years old, thinking like, oh yeah, I mean, I'll put all the money that I was spending on, you know, clothes, traveling, whatever it be. You know, I was like, oh yeah, I was putting it off. Like, I'll upgrade the security system, whatever, whatever. That shit happens. And that, you know, that had to happen for me to, you know, be on my shit and be like, okay, now I really got to upgrade the security. Like, what do we have to do? Okay, install cameras. We got to put a gate up. We got to do this, this, and that. And, you know, that in 2017, all the stuff that was taken, that was at the peak of like Supreme, right? So this was after the Louis Vuitton drop where shit was going for crazy amounts of money. And, you know, it's unfortunate, but a lot of that stuff was consigned and I wasn't going to consignment. So it was other people's items. So some of it was ours, whatever, we'll take the L on. But, you know, the consigners, like the reason why we still have a good rapport with consigners is because like, it's not like I'm running off with their money. You know, I paid all of those people back. But it took a while because everything was so expensive. You know, I just came clean. I was like, look, it's going to take a little bit of time. And I ended up spending most of 2018 paying back consigners because it was so much was taken from that. So learning experience, sucks to be broken into like that. But prevention before cure is something my dad always taught me. So that was me waking up and like, okay, let's do everything we can to prevent that from happening. So whatever security buffs we need, put the money towards it. It's a good investment, protecting your product. So protecting your investment, essentially. So
yeah, no, yeah. Your dad had got hella quotes, man. My dad don't be having quotes for me. He's like, motherfucker, stupid. That's not what he even told me if I owned a store. But
no, I mean, I'm glad I have young parents, you know?
Yeah, shit. So. That's great. But, it's a happy birthday to your mom.
Oh, yeah.
When is that? It's on the 29th?
25th,
okay. Yeah,
tomorrow, so.
Oh!
Yeah, we're celebrating tomorrow.
Happy birthday. Mine was on the 21st.
Okay. Happy belated to yours.
Happy belated for sure, for sure. But something else I wanted to ask, too, speaking about the store, is I remember having this conversation with Jay in the store, and he said people have, like, asked, I think, either Jay or you to, like, film, like, music videos.
Yeah.
Is that real? Like, people?
Yeah, all the time. We just filmed one. I was just in one, like, probably, like, 2 weeks ago.
Using a music video?
I'm in a couple, yeah. I'm in a couple.
What music videos you were in?
My boy from the 313. I don't even know bro's rap name, but His Instagram is from the 313, and his shit's low key hard. Like his song, like I'm not gonna lie, some of like the local artists, I'm not like really fucking with a lot of their music, but like him, Just Doe, like they actually be putting out good music.
Mm-hmm.
So like, his song specifically that he shot in the store, I think it's called like Melrose or Melrose Ave some, like That shit, it's a banger.
Okay, and like when someone asks you to like film something in the store, are you asking them, yo, hold up, let me hear the song first before you film in my store?
You know, me being the nice person I am, I'm kind of just like, yeah, like go ahead, I'm free press is free press, right? But there's instances where like, I think there's only been one instance where I didn't like the song, but this was like 2016, like when we first opened. Mm-hmm. So it was like a Pokemon Go song. And I'm like...
Like the song was about Pokemon
Go? Yeah, the song was about Pokemon Go.
Okay.
And I was just like, I didn't know what the song was, but then I let them play it on the speaker and I was like, huh. All right. I mean, I get what, you know, Pokemon Go is, and you be catching all these hoes, but I don't know. Like,
that's the bar.
The hook? And I was
you
like,
catching these hoes?
I swear to God, bro. I don't know if the song is still out there, but I mean, shout out to bro. I hope he's doing well. But man, that song was.
You need a ghostwriter, nigga. For the time, I got it.
But it's just like, damn, bro. Like that was when. I think SoundCloud rap was super popular and anybody wanted to be a rapper. Like even my friends wanted to be rap. All my friends wanted to be rappers. So yeah, I mean, that was a time for sure, but you know, whatever the case.
Man, and I got like two questions left.
Mm.
Man, it's good that you're wearing the hoodie. What are we doing about these 49ers, man?
Oh man.
What are we doing?
Well, good news. I think we're hiring Robert Saleh back. He was our defensive coordinator from, I think, 2017
to 2020. He was on the Jets.
Yeah, he was on the Jets. Yeah, okay. So If we get him back, I think it's gonna have it's gonna help a lot of players stay, because I don't want Dre Greenlaw to leave. But I think if Salah comes back, I think he's definitely staying, and whoever Salah brings with him from the Jets, because there's a couple people that have that are gonna be free agents. So I think our biggest problem was defense and special teams, and that's already been accounted for. I think our QB's solid, our offense was just injured, but I think this season, I think this is like 2025 season is like an all-in season. Because if we don't, with this core, if we don't win next year,
it's a dub.
Gotta blow it up.
Look at the Lions. Look at the Lions, bro.
Yeah, I mean.
Shit.
But the Lions are the Lions, though. They don't got that pedigree like San Francisco.
But no, that's what I'm saying. What he's saying is like, you know, that window of you being a Super Bowl contending team is very short.
Yeah.
Detroit, I think their window's closed.
Well, with the coordinators leaving, I feel like.
Coaches left. The players about to watch.
No, yeah. I mean, I feel like they'll be a competitor, but I mean, Super Bowl, unless, I don't know, them losing Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn is huge for sure.
Yeah. Definitely.
So, I mean, maybe Dan Campbell's a hell of a coach, but I don't know. I mean, I never really believed in Jared Goff to begin with, even back when he was with the Rams too.
Definitely.
But yeah, I think Purdy's solid. I think our offense is solid. It's just our defense and our special teams needed addressing, and they addressed it. So I think we'll be definitely a playoff team next year. We've got a very easy schedule. But yeah, I think we'll be straight next season.
And then,
bar injuries, I think we'll be straight.
Yeah, next season. And then Brock Purdy, we super maxing that, franchise tagging it. What we doing?
I mean, just based on seeing what happened to all these QBs that. I saw a crazy graphic where it was saying like all the top eight QBs top eight paid QBs didn't win a playoff game this year.
Yeah.
So
no, I think I saw the same graphic.
Yeah. Now I'm thinking like Purdy did it. He's won four playoff games.
Yeah.
In two
and
years.
Then been to the Super Bowl.
Been to the Super Bowl once.
Yeah.
I mean, played Mahomes to overtime. I mean, nobody's done that. You know.
Hell no.
Aside from Josh Allen, but I mean, you know how that ended. So
yeah.
I'm hoping. Who's your guys' pick this weekend?
Woo! Hold on. What's the... It's
Commanders, Eagles, and Bills, Chiefs.
Oh, I mean, the Chiefs are going to win because they're the Chiefs and the NFL loves them.
Yeah.
The other side, though, Chiefs, I think the Eagles get it done.
Nah, I'm thinking Commanders, man.
You think?
Yeah.
I think...
This boy, Jaden Daniels?
Yeah, but hey, I think...
This is from the IE.
He's NFL street.
Yeah, he's from the IE.
We were talking about that. We need to get him in some OTA ASAP.
Yeah. He's Jaden Daniels or anybody from his team see this? Like, I got a pack for you.
For sure.
Nah, so, he's cold, but I just don't think
that Eagles defense is legit. That Eagles defense is legit.
Hey,
for sure.
We gonna make watch this episode. When is this episode gonna come out? Like Sunday?
Like Thursday.
Damn.
Okay.
So shit. By the time I have a Super Bowl for the
I'm saying so. I mean, well, let's put in our picks now. Then so you got.
Like, we could bet on this. We could bet.
You got Commanders?
Yeah.
I'm going for Commanders too. So.
How much you? Come on.
I'm Commanders.
What's the brand on? You're Commanders too?
Yeah, I'm Commanders.
Are you Eagles?
I'm Eagles.
You trying to? I see this motherfucker every day. if I bet him and lose, I'm not coming to work.
I think the interesting is, have you seen how Jaden Daniels trains? Where he does the VR stuff?
I don't know.
So there's a company in Germany that invented a VR technology to help athletes train, and they give it to a lot of like F1 drivers, people that are in really like quick reaction time sports.
Yeah.
And LSU invested in that company, so they shipped them a specialized VR headset for him. He's able to download defensive schemes of opponents and play the game in like 1.5 times speed.
Wow.
So he trains, like does reps on reps and reps of that
on a higher
level. So now when he plays on game day, the game is slowed down.
Yeah, and that's why he probably looks so poised.
Yes.
Like, that's the biggest compliment everybody's been giving him from beating Detroit, like how poised he looked.
Exactly. So he goes through his
progressions.
He goes through his progressions. He's able to like read the defense better because he has all these reps at elevated speed. So
I'd believe it. He's looking
it's crazy.
He don't look like a rookie, that's
nah,
for sure.
He definitely all not. He all matter for sure. And then it's kinda harping on sports again. These Lakers, man.
We just beat Boston last night.
What we do? Because LeBron and AD talk about some, we're not in contention for a championship.
Well, I saw AD said all they need is a five. So I haven't
been. So who they finna get then?
I think the dude from Utah, the white boy, the tall one, Kessler. and then Colin Sexton. That's like the package that, that's the package that people have been pitching. Like they want Walker Kessler and Colin Sexton. They just need a true one and a true five.
Okay, so which team do you have more faith in, the Lakers or the 49ers to get something done?
Oh,
see,
definitely the Niners. Yeah, just because I feel like it's, I wouldn't say football is easier, but basketball is not easy either, bro. Like this, that Western Conference is no joke. OKC, with all the picks, they're young. And then like, I was looking at the standings. It's like Lakers Nuggets again, 4-5. So it's like we were playing better than last season from a record standpoint, but we're still facing the same. If the playoffs were to start today, we'd be playing the same people that booted us the past 2 years.
Yeah.
So.
Wow. Well, hey. Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
God willing. But last question. Plans for 2025?
I'm glad you're ending. Or this is the last one?
Last one.
Okay, I'm glad you're ending it on this because I was hoping we would get to, you know, talk about it. But you know about it.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've been going back to how initially we wanted to do a pop-up in Japan fourth quarter last year. It was either that or ComplexCon. This year, very soon, actually, it's already set in stone, but I don't want to give out too much information, but we finally locked in our a retail space in Japan to do the first OTA pop-up for the brand overseas.
Woo!
That's crazy.
OTA Japan, baby!
Yeah. Yeah.
We're international.
Yeah, we're going international with it. So that's what I was getting to. Like, you know, you want to follow up, you know, the best drop that we put out with the brand being the Choppa drop. I don't want to just put out some product with like a half-assed like marketing campaign or whatever. Like us bringing it overseas and dropping some new product, that's how you up the ante organically, you know? So I was originally going to drop some clothes within the next like few weeks. I've got a couple pieces that came in, but I'm probably just going to save all of it for overseas first to help, you know, organically build the that hype for the brand essentially. So yeah, building an ecosystem out there, going low key, rolling hella deep. I'm excited. Like
stupid deep. I'm coming, y'all. Yeah. Hey, what's going on?
Go. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, so,
Japan is nuts.
Yeah. Congrats. Thank you. Congrats. Appreciate that, bro.
Hell yeah.
So excited for that. We'll be announcing it soon. Like the actual dates and all that soon. But yeah, very excited for that. But outside of just that, I mean, more events. Definitely want to DJ more.
For sure. More meetups.
I mean, whatever, anything I feel like that will help build the brand organically and build more of an ecosystem, whether it be in Las Vegas where we're rooted in or overseas, wherever it be, like not only just Japan, but I've gotten opportunities for Paris, Brazil, Australia. Like after this drop, we've gotten quite a bit of press from these places that want us to go and, you know, bring the brand out to those places. So I think, Tokyo in Japan in general has been something that's been calling us for a while. So it only makes sense to start it there. But, you know, after this pop-up, you know, who knows what that'll bring. That I think that solidifies the brand to be able to stand on its own outside of the resale stuff. You know, because I feel like anybody can bring, you know, resale shit and do like a pop-up with like vintage or
shit. Yeah, they could go online for that shit.
Yeah, and yeah. I'm like, but can you doing something off of your brand, something that you built yourself and built a community in where you're from and have that extend into the other side of the world. It's, you know, something that still like doesn't feel real. It feels surreal to me that we're able to do this. So excited for that for sure.
Yes. It feels very surreal. Cause even with this fucking podcast last year on my birthday, we did an episode.
Yeah.
And then, depending on how the timing works out, this year I'm gonna be in Japan with you. Yeah. With you,
I'm saying crazy.
Fucking
how
crazy.
Much,
this yeah. shit crazy.
I'm yo. Saying we was getting fucked up, in that hot ass studio.
Ooh,
yeah,
my god,
sweating.
Yeah, that first. Oh my god, that shit was damn shoebox.
Bro was fasting too.
Was, so, oh yeah, Ramadan. Bro, yeah. It was Ramadan. Yeah, you left during the middle of the episode.
I was dying.
No, yeah, and I didn't know. If I would have known, I would have been a little more mindful of that.
But yeah, he didn't. I'm sorry.
No, it's all good. But yeah.
Shit. But wrapping it up though, I mean, 2025, I think that's really gonna be a big ass year for all of us. Yeah. You know what I mean? And whatever we're all the shit we're involved with. OTA, OTR. Tell them where they can follow you.
Store page on the arm.lv. We had already talked about how we lost our Instagram last time.
Yes,
right? Yeah. Okay. So yeah, on the arm.lv, still building that up. We're over 10K now, which is great. And then me, I'm m_nerdy. And then the brand page just on the arm. So yeah.
Shit. I mean, y'all already know where y'all can follow me at and the number 2 DATK. Y'all can follow him on Instagram at AKA BTG, right?
Yes, sir. Okay, follow the podcast. Right. Follow the podcast page. It's going to be onthe_run.pod on Instagram, On The Run Podcast on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Music, all that good stuff, man. Go check it out.
All right. Appreciate y'all.
Peace.
Hell yeah. Peace.